Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the Tiki and Tierney NFL Training Camp Two-A-Days as we visit all 32 NFL camps to preview the upcoming season.
The Atlanta Falcons, 7-9, second in the NFC South. The Falcons fell short of the postseason last year, but Matt Ryan and Julio Jones looked rejuvenated and now have Todd Gurley at their disposal.
I'm good, man. I mean, I've just been chilling the last couple of months, kind of just working out, doing what I do, and just ready for the season. I guess, you know, didn't play that much last year, so I still got some treads on my legs from that, so I'm excited, man. It's going to be fun.
Rookie A.J. Terrell joins Deion Jones, Dante Fowler Jr., and Grady Jarrett on a stout defense. Can Dan Quinn and Matt Ryan take the Falcons back to the top of the South?
And now we're joined by the aforementioned Dan Quinn, head coach since 2015 of the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing today?
Tiki, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we're doing good and just getting rolling, man. It's good to be back talking football and even more importantly, man, like playing some football. So we're doing good.
Yeah, I can imagine that this has been a long time coming. The draft was so disjointed. The offseason was, hey, guys, I see you from afar through a video camera. You can't get together. It's all social distance and via Zoom and other things. But, you know, from your perspective as a head coach, you've been there since 2015. Previously, you were with the Seahawks as a DC. You know, how odd was this offseason? And more, I guess more importantly, the word I used before, disruptive was it to your process?
Well, I think you have a flow, right, to get in terms of the off season, how it goes. All right, and as a player, hey, these are things I want to work on. This is where I want to get better at. And there's a flow to it. And same thing from coaching. You know, like you went through the players' point of attack. These are some areas you want to go to. You study into some scheme stuff. And so when that flipped, I think two significant things probably took place. One, we learned how to teach even better online. And so finding ways to do that, which was not the norm for coaches. So much of our teaching is in person and hands on. And so finding ways to like customize the teaching that would be just for you at running back for the install. So like there were definitely things that were good. And I think the second piece that happened is a lot of the players, because we weren't with them, got together to do a lot of things. And you know, the connection and the bonding can take place doing that. And so I thought those two things, were not just at the norm. So for guys working out and throwing together and giving feedback on the things they're hitting on. So when the team came back in, I was expecting to see a little bit further away, but their connections were much stronger than I had anticipated. And so I thought that was a good thing. That was maybe one of the silver linings I wasn't expecting. So in that space, it was different, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
I think like most things, man, like you find out a hell of a lot and say, all right, you know, where do we go from here?
Yeah, you know, sometimes when mom and dad are out of the house, the kids are responsible. You know, oftentimes they're not, but sometimes they are. They surprise you. You know, from a coronavirus standpoint, the protocols that are all in place, the mask wearing, guys adjusting to that. Are they adhering to it? Are they? Because some places they're dismissive of it in this country still. But how are your guys handling all of the protocols that are necessary to keep everybody safe?
You know what, and that's kind of like, it's one of the cool parts about being on a team, and you definitely can relate to this, like, and then, like, you got my back and I got yours. This is one of the things that we're going to need to do you know, in order to play. You know, that's what winning looks like for us right now. Like, I'll take care of your family, you take care of mine. And masks are a part of that for meetings, for working out, and for doing the walkthroughs. And then, you know, football for us is going to begin, you know, really tomorrow. The last week has been strength and conditioning and meetings, but we'll really be, you know, starting this next ramp up and then training camp. So the next 3 weeks around the NFL are going to be big because roles start getting emerged and what a player can do, new guys who are on a team, you know, what would that role be? So there's a lot of cool things that will take place over the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks.
We're talking to head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, and you mentioned training camp. I remember when I first started, I'm driving up to Albany, New York for Giants training camp. I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. I'm going to be in a dorm for, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And, you know, I'm away from my family. I just had a baby. I mean, it was hard. What are you guys doing logistically with the guys are they staying at a hotel or they go home? Like, what's the interaction like right now for training camp residential wise?
Yeah, it's definitely different from the training camp you remember. And I can remember, you know, for me, I growing up in New Jersey and, you know, going over to Fairleigh Dickinson to be the Giants
right.
Before you moved up to Albany. Like, it's a lot different, brother. But I would say we had, you know, a unique opportunity here. There were some dorms that were already on the Falcons campus. And so we utilized those much like a player could have his own, you know, personal locker room, use it for, you know, office where we're doing some of the virtual stuff. So you arrive in the morning because you have the ability to either stay here or be at home, testing, you know, workouts, get into practice. And then after practice, that's when, you know, that downtime for a player, where do you go? So for us, we're fortunate. There's a spot here, you know, for the players. We'll do some things online, like the next install, and then have a walkthrough in the evening to kind of, you know, get prepped to go for it again. So the process of the camp is good. I think the newest players, you know, they're the ones that have the most studying, you know, the most things to get connected. And I think that part's gone well, Tiki. Now you know what it is as a player, like it's the timing, the reaction. Those are the things, like, you can't do that online, man. Like, that has to only take place on the field.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Now, you're eventually going to get on field, and eventually you're going to get in the pads. There is no preseason this year, Coach. So, what's the evaluation plan like? How can you know, right? This guy just has it. He didn't play much. He didn't play, you know, particularly well. But I saw it on this play, special teams or whatever. We want to keep that guy. How are you going to do that this year?
Well, I think a number of ways. One, I think going into it, you have a good sense on a handful of players, right? So you have a good sense of where they're at, what we can count on from them in that space. And there's another group of players that think of the improvement so many guys make from like year one to year two.
Yeah, that's right.
So now you need to be able to see those. And so we'll do some scrimmaging, you know, different than we've done in the past. So it wasn't just, oh, here's it, you know, a normal training camp format. You had to create some preseason games, so to speak, to put them into live situations to get the evaluation. So we've got a few of those, you know, spread out, you know, over the next 3 weeks, so we can almost simulate what that would look like. Of course, it won't be exactly the same, but hey, those are the guidelines, and that's where we'll go. So we're going to try and make some real significant moments. All right, coaches off the field, just truly scrimmage ones to get some good opportunities to do some evaluating.
Yeah, no, they're going to love that. If you're a football player, you love hitting, even if you hate getting hit. All right, let's get that. That was all the administrative stuff, Coach. Let's get to the nitty-gritty here. Todd Gurley comes over in free agency. The Rams had their issues. It is what it is, but it's your gain. Tell us about Todd, because I love him. I think he's a great kid. When he's on, he's really on. What can we expect from him this year, and are you concerned about some of the health issues that plagued him in his last 2 years, really, with the Rams?
Well, it's so clear, you know, in terms of the style and the way that he plays. And that's why, you know, seeing him in their offense and, you know, the one cut, whether it's wide zone or his ability to, you know, make someone miss on the edge, those were things that were, like, so easy to see from the Ram tape and competing against him.
Yeah.
I think what's nice about when you know, trade for a player or sign a free agent is the connection and seeing what that person – not only as a ball player, but like what they would bring to your team. And so he has got real stuff to him in such a strong and good way. And so connection with the defensive players, I'm sure you had that, you know, in New York. Like, it's not just with the running backs, but the players who can, you know, multiply, you know, across the ball, you know, expand on the offense just by their connection. Those are really significant guys, and we're fortunate that we have that with Tobbs, and he's starting to build relationships. You can see, you know, with other guys, not just at running back, but at receiver, at quarterback, at linebacker, and so those are the things to do. I've always been impressed with him, especially down in the red zone.
Yeah.
You want to see him catch, and those are the things in the strength and conditioning phase. You just see him get into the flow of the offense. So the next 3 weeks will be about him getting connected, seeing the blocks, you know, how does it all time up? Those are the things, you know, and the offensive line getting to know him as well.
Yeah, it's a dance. I always used to tell people, it's like this ballet that's going on. You guys think it's like mauling. It's like this thing's got to happen perfectly. Otherwise, it's not happening at all.
Yeah, you're trying to set up linebackers and DBs and get
that's right.
And cuts
that's right.
And protections. And so that part, he really, you know, came in rock solid. And you can tell he definitely has a chip on the shoulder. He put work in during the offseason. You can tell, like, when a guy's ready to roll, and he's certainly one in that category.
Yeah, I love that. Head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, is joining us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, last season was rough, the start especially. 1-7 you started, then 6-2 to finish it. Now, I think that saying momentum is overrated leading into the next year, it's just an overrated narrative, but you did do things better. And I know, and I'm tied a little bit here because of your defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. He and my brother are boys, as you know. But he became the DC, took some of that off of your plate. But what else changed, right? It just felt like the mentality, the urgency, the meaning it changed for the Falcons at the end of last year. How do you keep that and drive into 2020?
Yeah, I think that's important that you just said that, because if you don't, then all the pain of going the start of it was for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have some lessons that are learned. And one thing for sure I thought that the team really connected on more was their ability to play complementary football. You know, that you create a takeaway and the offense goes to capitalize on it. You pin, you know, somebody down with a good punt, and the defense keeps them down there to, you know, so they don't flip the field. And so having that connection in all three phases, that's when you're at your best, man, as a team. And for whatever reason, it took a lot longer than we wanted for us to find that connection and to find that complementary football. And so for sure those lessons were learned, and we talked a lot about the lessons. You're right, the team doesn't stay the same in the NFL from year to year. There's a one-year shelf on that, different from maybe the NBA or some other things. But lessons are certainly able to be applied year to year. And so that's where, you know, our focus went, and we didn't back off of that right from the beginning. We'd rather address and say, you know, why did we win? And also, you know, why did we lose? And make sure we're really clear around both of them.
Yeah, let's talk about your quarterback, Matt Ryan. He's not old, but he's 34 at this point, and successive 7-9 seasons. I know that people were putting you on the hot seat. I don't think that Arthur Blank felt the same way, and I know you feel comfortable going forward. But what is the pressure that you are feeling, not just for yourself, but for the team and for Matt Ryan, who's one of those great quarterbacks? He has an MVP under his belt, but he hasn't got that elusive Super Bowl yet. Like, what's the pressure on you guys collectively?
I don't even know if it's the hunger is probably what I would say. Really, like, you just want to relentlessly go after Tiki. You know, when you're just feeling that space that you want to get the job done and being in the moment. So I don't look too far down the line. You know,
yeah.
I want to make sure, hey, man, let's do all we can to throw a hell of a camp and get ready. And so Matt, as a competitor, you know, when you step out on the practice field, you better have your game right, you know, or he's going to let you know because
yeah.
He's going to have his right. And so those are the things to me that that always light me up about coaching him and guys like Julio. You know, the standard that they set about how they go after things, it makes a lot of other things, you know, fall into place when your very best players are right at the top of it in terms of their humility, their hunger for it, and how smart they are about the game. So pretty easy to get in line here in Atlanta based on two of those guys for sure.
We're chatting with head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, we saw some speculation, Coach, that if college football is fully canceled, I know you've been following this in the news, and
yep.
The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have canceled their fall seasons. They may play in the spring. The ACC, SEC, and Big 12 have not. But there's speculation that if all of it goes away, that Saturday football, NFL football, could become a reality. Would you embrace that, or would it be kind of off?
I didn't embrace anything with football, brother. I'd like to be, if that's part of, you know, some things that we can do to help, you know, just for the whole country. Like, we need football, and I'm sure you were part of, you know, from all the way back in 2001 and the impact that football had after 9/11. I had just started in the NFL out in San Francisco, and that was a significant time. I'm not comparing anything. I just want to say like how impactful football can be, and how grateful I was to be a part of that. And I'm hopeful, I really am, that we're able to have an impact on our country with football, making some positive impact to where it's going. I'm sick for the college guys and the coaches because I know how much they put into it. And so for the seasons that get, postponed or canceled, I know that hurts. And, for today, for those guys in college who are finding out they're not going to have a season, there's some brokenhearted guys. But I'm hopeful that there's a spring, there's, something, at the end of this that, we're able to make it up.
Yeah, I hope so as well. Now, Coach, this was a odd year, obviously with the pandemic, but the social justice issues that have been going on around the country. And Atlanta, I'm not going to say it's a hotbed because that just sounds like it gives a negative connotation, but we know the culture and the history down in right. Atlanta. And Todd Gurley, when we had him on a few weeks ago, he talked about this. Have you talked to your team about what's going to happen once the season starts, whether it's the kneeling or the protest that may happen? Like, have you talked to your team about this, and what do you expect is going to happen?
Yeah, we haven't got that far as the opening day, but we do talk about a number of topics. And one that was on our mind early on was voting and how do we make a difference together, and how do we first make our impact? And there's guys that in our team that make up 27 different states, so making sure you're squared away from registration and absentee voting and all of those things to go. So yeah, we spend a lot of time together. And I think one thing that's come through this spring, Tiki, it's, it's a lot about football, but we've also found our voice on some other areas like race and social injustices. And I think that's a good thing for us to make sure that conversations that have needed to be had are now taking place. And I think it's my job and others like myself to make sure those conversations have space to do them. And we certainly do here. And we want to make those moments available for us to talk about. So we haven't got to the season yet. We kind of just put one thing in front of another for the time being. But yeah, we do spend the time in that space.
Yeah, I know the Players Coalition is heavily involved in the NFL votes. So definitely this November's election is enormous. Coach, I really appreciate you taking some time. I enjoyed it. I'm wishing you the best of luck. I really have an affinity for Raheem and for Arthur Blank, and now you for joining us. Thanks so much, and good luck this season. I appreciate everything.
Yeah, well, much respect to you, brother. Followed you forever, and again, friendship with your brother and the guys. So, really glad to be on with you, and hope to get connected with you another time.
Most certainly. We'll talk soon, Coach. Be well and good luck.
See ya.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.